sons, lock up your fathers. Which is the tagline for the movie we watched this week, Father's Day.
Ugh.
So I've been trying to get you and anyone who I can convince to watch it to watch this movie recently.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you finally got around to it.
See, like, when you watched it, like, the way you've described it, I was like, cool. But then I, as, like, watching it, I keep forgetting. You describe, like, less than half of the film when
yeah.
you tell people to watch it.
Yeah.
And, like, that's your like, pitch is less than half of the plot of the film?
Yeah, pretty much. But I think it's the part that I actually enjoy.
But it's the end.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of what...
It's the end 15 minutes of the film,
but
not
I,
the hour and a quarter leaving up to it.
But I also recommend Mandy based on the second half of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think if you just watch the first half, you're going to be bored and annoyed from it. But the fact that it pays off at the end is worth it. Whereas in this, it's like most of the film for a long time of it is like a bit much. And it's weird and it's disturbing and you're just not sure why you're watching it. And then you get towards the end and it gets pretty funny. And then you get into the last like 30 minutes and it's a fucking ride. And it's just ridiculous and it becomes pretty
minutes,
fun.
I'd say last 20 minutes.
I mean,
25.
Once you get to the part where he's banging his sister, at that point,
yeah,
that's about 25 minutes. Yeah, at that point, you're in. It's good. It's got you. It's gripped. There's no going back.
Or you're still having to watch it because you're recording a podcast on it tomorrow.
Yep. There's no leaving at that point. You have to see where it goes. Once they've killed the fuckman and there's still 40 minutes of runtime left, you know that what comes next has to be good.
Yeah, like they kill the fuckman and then it's like you get a montage of their sad and empty lives where Twink finds out that he's gay.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah,
uh-huh.
You're definitely gay. And then Father John also has to come to terms with it as well.
Yeah, and then Father John gets almost excommunicated.
Yeah, straight up just lock him in the cellar for a bit until he repents.
It's like, geez, man.
Yeah,
pretty rough.
Yeah, everyone's just having a shit day.
Like
I
get it. Like half their lives
go.
Led to like trying to kill the fuckman.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuckman is spelled Fuchman.
Yeah, it goes through two phases where at first we're led to believe it's Chris Fuckman, who's just a serial killer cannibal.
Yeah.
But there's like one scene where he's eating a corpse and there's a bunch of cultists in robes going, "Hail the Fuckmanicus. Hail the Fuckmanicus." And then we find towards the end that the Fuckmanicus is actually what this thing is. It's some sort of like hell demon that is sent forth every generation to murder fathers.
Yeah, it's like, why?
Which makes little to no sense or rhyme or reason. It's just demon from hell is the only explanation you
but
need.
Hail the Fuckmanicus.
Hail the Fuckmanicus, Alex. We've been safeguarding the Fuckmanicus for generations.
See, I think the last Spooktober, our first episode was Mandy's Mandy.
Was it Mandy?
I'm pretty sure it was Mandy.
Okay.
Oh, Mandy was close to the first.
It was close, but I don't think it was the first. I think the first might have been like... It wasn't Creep, was it?
No, Creep was later on. I'm pretty sure it was Mandy.
Okay, yeah. So we've got a good track record here of starting with like weird grindhouse stuff.
Yeah, see, like these two films like remind me of each other where they're like both this over the top, like almost semi-comedic.
Also like visually, there's a lot of similarity to an extent, like they're both hyper-saturated.
Yeah, Mandy
does it better, obviously.
Mandy overall does a lot of this so much better.
Oh yeah. It does.
I love
it. It does
Mandy.
The gore brilliantly in that one as well.
This one, it's like, cool, this is just getting weird for the sake of being weird.
But at the same time, it is what you expect from like a lot of grindhouse stuff is to
be
really like there's a lot of stuff in these kinds of films that you don't get in
I'm acknowledging
from,
that
from a film like just a litany of dad rape for some reason.
Yeah, I don't
just yeah that that's like my least That's the part of the movie where I'm like, if this didn't have so much of it, it would be easier to recommend to people.
Yeah,
because at the moment I can't just keep telling people, hey man, push through all of this and you might like it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, if I didn't have to watch it for the podcast, I probably would have stopped watching at some point.
Yeah, I almost thought you would last night when you were messaging me. I'm like, I hope he pushes through and gets there, because he will enjoy the end.
The end was pretty good, but that was the only bit that I really liked.
Okay.
That was the thing. Like, the other bits I was just like, cool, like, weird, but okay.
I like some of the weird grindhouse stuff in this movie. Like, it does a lot of that. Like, it's got just some weird jokes. It's got, like, a scene at a strip club for no reason.
That's where your sister works.
I know, but at the same time, so many of these movies, for some reason, just film in strip clubs. I'm not kidding. There is a movie, and I don't know for certain if it's Troma, but it's of a similar vein called, like, I think it's called like 10 grams or some amount of grams, about like some English coke dealer type deal. And 50% of the movie, I'm not kidding, takes place in strip clubs of just strip shows. It's no story content, nothing that advances the plot, and it's basically porn. Like, it's just hardcore pornography. Like, you're seeing stuff that probably shouldn't be on a theater, you know? So it doesn't, like, and so this at least has, like, minimal, as far as strip club scenes go, where at least they advance the plot. Like, whenever they go back to the strip club, at least something happens there, where we're introduced to characters, and it's not just, here's 30 minutes of a strip show. And when we're watching the Happy Time Murders, I was reminded of all the fucking grindhouse movies I've seen where there's a strip club scene, because it felt like that, where it's just, and this is the part where we go to this female character from this male character's past who happens to also be a stripper at this club, which is so bloody common.
In the credits to the film, they've got a recommendation.
Oh.
It's when you visit Winnipeg, go to Teaser's Burlesque Palace.
There you go.
So it's obviously where they've shot the film.
Yep. Or at least those scenes.
Yeah, at least because they shot on location in like Toronto and Vancouver.
Yeah. You can tell it's definitely made in Canada. Like 80% of the movies you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I love that Shazam was shot in, was like set in Philadelphia, but the entire thing's shot in Canada.
I think except for scenes that are obviously Philadelphia, it's all Vancouver or Toronto.
I mean, half those shots are just like a tiny bit of set on a green screen anyway.
Yeah.
So
it's like the event. It's like all the Marvel films.
Yeah, exactly. It's all on a sound stage, wherever the hell they can build it.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, shot in an actual strip club, ladies and gents.
Yeah, it's
check
legit.
It out. That field is real. You can go check out the hay field that Ahab's dad is not buried in, with all the guns and knives. That thing's legit. There is some pretty legit stuff in this though. Like that, like I was telling you earlier, that chase scene.
Oh yeah, like, the chase scene with the Ahab mobile and the fuck mobile.
Yeah. That's actually really well done and really cool. Like, you've got a sequence where these two cars are driving down a street. You've got people climbing, like, out of one car, jumping onto the other, riding on the hood of another. Like, it's actually really cool. And there's a lot of, and it's actually both well done, well shot, and has some good action to it.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's nothing compared to, like, The Raid, but it's amazing how it's done, like, for this level of film.
Yeah.
It's really well done.
Yeah, no, it's really well done, but I still just think it's a bit...
Fair.
It's one of those ones where, like, I enjoy weird stuff.
Yep.
But this stuff knew that it was weird.
Yeah.
And, like, played up. And, like, didn't play it up, but, like, definitely referenced it.
Mm.
And I'm not a fan of that.
Okay.
Like, when it started playing it up, like, when they went to hell...
Yeah, as it went on, it started to really step it up.
And with the tome and stuff, that was fine. I liked that. I started liking it.
Like, at the beginning, it almost feels a bit genre-confused for the first
half. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it feels like it knows that it's this B-rated, it's this B-grade movie. But it cracks jokes?
It's almost like it was shot in sequence order, and as they continued making it, they started to realize how they should go about making it. Because at the first, it's like weird and disturbing. You know, you've just got this scene with like a 16-year-old allegedly being sold out as a prostitute.
Yeah.
You've just got like all these. You've got like his dad being burned alive and all this stuff. That's just like, it's not played for laughs.
Yeah.
And it's kind of disturbing and serious.
And then they introduced Ahab and it's played for laughs.
In the scene where Ahab is introduced, it's actually really funny, though, where you've just got Father John, like, crossing the world to find him, where he's walking through a desert, like, yeah. He's walking through the tundra, he's on a beach.
You see him flying over the Himalayas or something. Yeah.
It's just all these shots of, like, him wandering through every kind of terrain, and then when he shows up at Ahab's shack in Canada...
He's in rags.
Yeah, his clothes are shredded. He looks like he lost a fight with a bear.
Yeah, and, like, and then you've got Ahab talking about maple syrup and stuff.
And he's just talking nonsense, like...
And it's not even maple trees, and it's like, what am I tapping?
And especially he's got the taxidermized, like, wolf head on his wall, and he starts talking about the Native Americans and their, like, beliefs about wolves. And it's all fake. It's all a lie. He's just like, I don't think that's true at all. Well, you've called me out now.
Yeah.
You come into my own home and call me a liar.
And then, like, immediately after that, it goes back to that being weird, gruesome.
Yeah, it goes right back to the fuckman doing what he does.
And it's like, make up your mind. Either be this, like, really gory, like, stomach-turning, dad-rapey film, or be this like weird comedy thing.
Yeah,
make up your mind, or like learn how to do them both, which they do at the end.
Yeah, which
that's
they,
why
which
I like
they
the end, because they figure it out. They figure out how to do like that weird gore.
I think the moment this film clicks over into like good is right when they find Chelsea again at the water park, and then as they're walking out through this train tunnel, they just look up and there's the fuckman just walking away, like just sauntering over this damn wall.
Yeah, and then Ahab shoots Twink and then the fuckman.
Not only that, he just drops Chelsea onto a railroad track. Like he's sitting there like gently cradling her like, we gotta get her out of here. And then he just fucking drops her right on her head and pulls A's gun and shoots Twink in the hand. It's great.
Yeah, and then after like he kills the fuckman, he just picks him up and throws him off.
Yeah, they get like that headless dummy and hurls him off a dam.
Yeah.
It's great. Then he just like turns to everyone and like a kid in a candy store, super excited, like, let's go finish him off, and then starts walking off. It's great.
Sorry I shot you, Twink.
Sorry, Twink. Like he bricks the fuck, man. It's great. And then it just from there, it goes into like the life is shit once you it's kinda like it reminds me of like the intent behind the end of Lord of the Rings, where it's just Frodo can't go on living in society anymore. He after what they've been through, he just can't do it.
Yeah.
Where it's just everyone after killing the fuckman, suddenly their lives suck, and it just just because you killed the serial killer doesn't mean everything gets better now.
No.
And then it turns out it's not over, and Chelsea gets possessed by the fuckman.
And fucks Ahab.
Yes, brother and sister get their bone on, and yeah, it's weird. This is the point where it's like, oh man, they know this, right?
Yeah, the moment that Ahab starts talking about, maybe it was mind control.
Yeah.
You know that this is dumb.
And he's totally not convinced by the entire thing. And the real fucking kicker for this is that they have to pursue the fuckman into hell and try and kill him in hell. You kill the demon in hell, it's dead for good.
Yeah.
So to get there, they kill themselves.
Yeah, and Father John?
Father John.
Father John ends up in heaven?
Yeah, those two wind up in hell and he's in the good place.
And he's like, and then he takes a hostage.
He takes an angel hostage, and I love the line where he's just like, I want to have to kill you. You seem like a good guy. I am. I really am.
Yeah.
Like, the guy just runs along
it's
with
like, down the whole corridor. I can't see a corridor. Just unfocus your eyes.
Yeah. See, it's actually, like, the ending with heaven and hell is really funny.
Like when God is also the devil, he's like, yeah, it's good business. You play both sides. You make competition like Hollywood.
which is funny because the guy playing Satan and God is the producer of this movie.
Yeah.
It's Lloyd Kaufman, who's the guy behind Troma.
Yeah.
So it's really fucking funny to just see the guy come in, like, he's in all of these fucking movies, but he's just like, yeah, it's good for business. He makes people be more moral.
And the blind priest pointing a gun?
Points a gun at God, holds him hostage. Go, my son, go! Could you at least point the gun at me?
Yeah, it's like, he can't even see you.
Where are you? Just panicking around, pointing the gun wherever.
Yeah.
And then from hell, it just gets even more ridiculous. You've got, they each have to face their personal hell immediately. And then from there, Twink gets sucked into a like hole full of hands and just is lost for eternity. And then comes back later, just stuck on a wall, like just becomes merged
but, like,
into this flesh wall.
Yeah.
Along with Ahab's coat. Just,
and Ahab's like, oh, my coat, my keys were in there.
My fucking keys were in there.
Twink, grab the keys.
And then once they face down the fuckman, who crushes these cultists, immediately just swipes Father John, breaks him in half. And then he's just a torso for the rest of the movie. He's helpless.
Ahab and, like, the fuck manicus make eye contact and he buffs up his intestines.
I really like the ending of this where, like, the final boss battle, all of our heroes from this film are completely out of the battle. They're completely indisposed where Ahab is lying down in a pile of his own internal organs and Father John has been split in half and can't fight back.
And then
so Chelsea has to do it for them.
You've got, like, Chelsea in, like, a knockoff Princess Leia slave costume.
Yeah, just go down to the Halloween store. And it's we like, need a sexy up. Princess Leia.
It's like, and then, like, she strangles the fuckman, like Jabba the fucking Hutt.
Yeah, exactly. Pulls him back and then taps him with a maple syrup tap, hey, bringing that back full circle. I mean, everything Ahab takes from his cabin does actually come back at one point or another.
And I'm like, look, the only difference between, like, the Princess Leia outfit and... And this is that Leia doesn't have a fucking carabiner attached to the collar.
It's modern. It's for high. It's the Abseilers sexy Leia costume.
Yeah, and I was like, come on, man. Like, I get the reference, but seriously, guys.
Yeah. To close it out, so once the fuckman is basically aborted, just curb stomps a baby.
Yeah,
fuckman.
Curb stomps the baby demon.
So then. Like, all these characters who've killed themselves to get into hell realize they haven't disapparated and gone back to back to Earth like
themselves.
Chelsea did. Exactly. So then Ahab tries to kill himself to return back to Earth and just blows out all his teeth. Says they're sitting there going, maybe if we hope hard enough, we'll return. It cuts back to the table they're at when they died.
And the cats are just there.
Yeah, Twink's cats are now just eating them, I guess. And they're all just, like, dead, bloated, decayed, like, have been there for several days and just are fucking dead. That's the final shot of the movie. It's just, and here's our heroes who are dead, just gone.
Yeah.
Like, this great bittersweet ending.
Yeah, the movie's a bit genre confused. I also wasn't a fan of, like, the soundtrack in the film.
Okay. Because I thought there was one track at least was a banger.
No, like, there were some parts of it that were okay, but it, like, I was, like I said earlier, it tried very hard, and it had a lot of that really heavy, distorted guitar.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I felt like it was too much.
Do you not want to try hard, Alex? Do you want it to fumble its way through?
See, it's trying, and that's what I don't like. If it wasn't trying so hard, I'd probably enjoy it more, but that, like, at least the earlier bits try really hard.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't, like you were saying, they didn't know what they were doing and they, like, were a bit genre confused. And, like, as they go on, they realize what they're doing and it starts trying a bit less. It's
yeah,
not as bad.
There's a lot more comedy thrown into it. It starts to make, the pieces start to come together and it starts to make more plot sense, but it's ridiculous in the plot. Where it's just suddenly, now he's banging his sister, now the fuckman's an immortal demon from hell.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, that sort of stuff is, I don't mind, because it's ridiculous, but it's not, at this point it's just accepted it, and, like, it feels more natural.
Yeah, which is weird to say that the demon from hell plot makes more sense than the serial killer.
Yeah, because the serial killer felt like they were kept, like, trying to, like, one up, like, in terms of gore and just disturbingness.
Yeah.
And it's like, because, like, this film starts off with, like, one, the creators of the film telling you to take cyanide pills.
Yeah, on the so we watch it on Amazon.
Yeah,
which is like a which is this recent DVD release that they've put out.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's just the opening is a promo from the creators of the film being like, "What a great DVD! The ultimate way to watch Father's Day." Make sure that if your Father's Day copy's broken, you take the two cyanide pills attached.
Yeah, and then they take the cyanide pills. Yeah.
Really, it wouldn't. It just makes sense that they'd kill themselves in the promo too.
Yeah, so you've got that going, and then you've also got like the opening.
Yeah,
where you've got them like the fuck Manicus eating some like a dad.
Yeah, presumably another dad. Yeah,
and it's like, all right, this is weird. And yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, and then it tries to like one up with the dad rape, and it's yeah. just not cool. I don't like it.
No, man.
But the end bit where it tones itself down a little.
Yeah.
Because it realizes that like there's nowhere we can go from here. We've peaked.
The only way to go above and beyond is to go down, but also step beyond, in through beyond, into hell.
Yeah, like they realize that like they don't need to up the gore, they just need to up the ridiculousness, and I feel like that balances it out a bit more.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Because I'm not a fan of a lot of gore.
Fair.
Especially like this stuff where it's like it's gruesome. It's meant to be, and it's like designed to like get that stomach turning.
Yeah. I'm more of a fan of the completely ridiculous type of gore, like we got from Mandy, where it's just completely balls to the walls, or Nightmare on Elm Street, where like Johnny Depp is turned into a meat slushy.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff is like cartoony violence is the best.
Yeah, like if it's more cartoony or not so much, because like I would argue this is also cartoony, but in a different way.
Yeah,
like it's very over the top. It's very like over the top. Not like Mandy was at least. I hate to say it, but like reasonably realistic.
He crushed a man's skull in his hands, Alex.
I said reasonably, Carl. I said reasonably. Like, nothing about that was you blow someone's brains out and like they've still got like half the skull here.
Pharaoh.
It wasn't that stomach turning. It was violence.
Yeah.
And so that's better, mm-hmm. I want to say. Like, not saying that it's like A-OK hunky dory, but I just don't think it's like as bad, like,
yep.
to watch.
Fair.
Because you're not like killing people and then like you've got like their dismembered faces all over the screen and stuff like that.
Mm.
Not a fan.
Fair.
But yeah, once it started, stopped trying to be like super gory, I didn't mind it.
I love that when you go into the Parents Guide on IMDb, it's just severe on all accounts.
Yeah, there's nothing family friendly about this.
No, don't show this to your children unless they're of advanced age. Hell, don't show it to your father either. I don't think I could recommend it to my dad.
You know, before I actually read what the film was about, I was like, hey, Mom, you want to watch this film together?
No!
Then she read about it, she's like, no, I'm not watching this.
She read about it, good. Good on her for having the foresight to not sit through the first hour of this movie with you.
Yeah, thank God. I think like at the first thing I'd be like, nah, I'm done. I'm going to watch this by myself.
This is a great, I think this is a good movie for like, if people are willing to, like if you've got a friend group who are down to watch a gore fest, then this is a great movie to watch with a couple of friends and some drinks.
It's going to take quite a few to get me to watch this again.
Maybe, well, I mean, I could watch it again. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan.
Fair.
Like, the end bit I'll watch. Like, the end bit I'll watch.
I'll watch the ending, sure.
Yeah, like, the end bit, like, where it gets really dumb, I'll watch.
Just watch from an hour in.
Yeah, that's fine, but like,
right when he goes, there he is.
The first hour that makes very little sense.
The thing is, though, like, I can't in good conscience just watch the end, like just put on the ending, because there is a lot set up by that first hour. Like it does actually, weirdly enough, it does actually set up the ground rules. It like it gives you that look at the cultist aspect of the fuck Manicus.
Weirdly enough, the cultist aspect, but then they get to hell and the cultists are just immediately squished.
Yeah, yeah, but it's the first clip you get that it's a demon from hell and not just a serial killer.
But some dudes praise the fuck Manicus while like the weird shit is going on.
Yeah, from watching the beginning, you do get that the like the cops are in on it. You do get all this kind of stuff that does get this big does get this actual payoff. Like there is actual payoff and cause and effect in this movie.
Yeah,
you don't get from a lot of movies.
I just feel like this film gets really confused about what the hell it's doing.
Especially you don't get this from a lot of movies that I think have like a budget of $10,000 or something.
I'd also like to point out that this film was originally refused classification in Australia.
Yep.
And then they had to edit some scenes so that way they could get an R18 rating.
The two things that I know were cut out were just close-ups of dicks.
Really?
Yeah. The only things I noticed for sure that were cut was the scene where there's a, like, during this montage where there's a guy chomping down on a hot dog and then suddenly he, like, takes a bite, looks away, like, looks back at it, and the meat in the hot dog has been replaced by a dick. That, I remember that much. And then there's a scene later with the fuckman, like, just mutilating his own genitals in close-up, which I didn't understand. I don't know why that was in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, they cut this a little bit. Good.
Good. I didn't... Good.
This was this really weird necessary. When I first saw it.
Yeah, this film is like the peak over-the-top film, I reckon.
Yeah?
Like, not peak.
We've
peak.
Hit it. We're going over the top.
I mean, like Mandy, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard to top that. The man just suddenly looks up and they weirdly enough, they both end up kind of in hell.
Yeah. And they... Neither... Although one of them, they don't take a bunch of drugs.
Well, no, they do. They do eat those tasty, tasty berries.
Oh, they do. They take a bunch of drugs too.
Yeah, they take a shit ton of drugs.
They both have an intermission.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, kind of.
One of them has the Cheddar Goblin.
The intermissions are very different. Where in this one, it's an actual stop.
Yeah, it's like an ad break.
Yeah, they stop for the Star movie Raiders. And they go Star Raiders, which I don't know. I don't think that's a real movie. I think that's.
I hope not.
I'm pretty sure that's just made for this because those are in the like the Star Raiders stuff is all listed in the credits as like a different thing.
Yeah, I mean, like it's all about bric-a-brac, and yeah. It's played by Alan Brooks.
Yeah, who does
Ahab.
Yeah.
And the post and the makeup and the editing and...
That's how you get it.
Wrote the film. I think also directed.
Which there's a lot of actually really good movies or at least like cult movies that are that way. Like written, directed and starred in by the same person. Like Primer is a good example of that.
I did not hit her. I did not.
Then the ultimate classic, The Room.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. Adam Brooks does a lot of movies like this. Like, I think he's got a lot of trauma films under him. So it makes sense that he's, like, in a whole bunch of shit from them.
Yeah, at least it's not like bloody Suburban Sasquatch, where every third person was just him or his brother.
Yeah, there you go. They at least cast different people in this movie. This has a cast. It has a director who knows who has an idea of what he's doing.
Look, I will admit, like, there's an idea, but I just feel like it gets confused. And I feel like if it had been more focused, I would have enjoyed the film more.
At the same time, it kind of makes... I do kind of agree with you on that. But at the same time, it also weirdly makes, like... It makes that ending better, where it suddenly, like, it slowly builds up to that ridiculousness and stupidness of going to hell. And it kind of works its way up, where, like, it slowly ladders... And, yeah, like, staircases up to ridiculous.
No. It takes one set of stairs up to, like, one floor. A ladder up to, like, two different floors. And then you take a slide down back to level two that you skipped originally. But then you've somehow...
Then the elevator.
Then you take the elevator. And then an escalator. And, like, it's not a consistent, like, series of steps, though. That's my issue.
Okay.
Is that it's not consistent. If it was a consistent series of steps, it's, like, a bit like... Oh, there's this, and we'll sprinkle a bit of that in. Yeah, we gotta let them know they gotta go to hell somehow. Fuck it, we'll put the cultists in. We gotta set up this weird tap thing.
The reference book. I mean, you say that he literally brings it up in the scene with Ahab introduced, and we see it a few times where he tries to tap a not maple tree. We establish that he's been sitting there making a lot of maple syrup for the past however many years in exile.
But I don't think he's actually been using maple trees.
Probably not, but it tastes so good. And also we have that moment where they're like prepping and we see him put the tap inside his ankle like a knife in the boot. So we see all that set up. Everything does actually get set up and pay off. Where when he's leaving his cabin, he goes for the berries and he's got the tasty berries and the toxic berries and he grabs the toxic ones.
I must have missed that.
Yeah. Yeah, they do actually set up that he's got those berries. So that's when they say, I found these berries in Ahab's coat. And those are the toxic berries. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but I still think it's like, think the way that they set this thing up is really helter-skelter.
Yeah.
Like, it's really all over the place. I just think this film would have been improved by a bit more focus.
Fair. Fair. It's a lesson in, like, discovery of, like...
Yeah.
Of we're just going to go out and we're going to make this movie and then figure out what it is.
It's like some of the student films that I've, like, seen.
Yeah.
And, like, made. Where I made a film once where we had no idea what it... Like, we had the script and it eventually became a comedy. It wasn't even that funny.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, it became a comedy.
Well, you say it became a comedy. It was more that people got a laugh... It's more that got a laugh at the screening.
No, we I edited more comedic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought it came across that way where I was like, this could be interpreted either way.
Yeah, it was meant to be like this super serious thing, but somewhere during filming we were just like...
This shit's fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's just dumb.
This shit's stupid.
So because it was like that weird, like, dumb, we just went, all right, we're going to make this bigger.
We're just going to... I mean, it would have to have been A grade to have started with. I don't think the quality of anything in there was really A grade.
No, the B grade is what I got.
Dunk.
But yeah, no, that's
B grade is what I got. Did you get a B for that one?
Yeah, I did.
Nice. I don't remember what I got for that for that course.
Yeah, I ended up doing so many roles in that film, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Were you in that? No. Oh, okay. I'm trying to remember. I think I saw you appear in something during that screening, but I don't remember what it was.
I think I was in another film at some point.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, anyway.
Oh, I was like a vague voiceover in that film.
Oh.
Yeah, also you might, I think you're getting two different screenings.
I might be getting that confused with documentary.
Yeah, documentary I was in.
Yeah, I remember that one. You're a brief cameo in that, yeah.
It felt like that, but like by the end of it, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah,
and I just wish I didn't feel like they'd known the entire time.
Mm.
If they'd known the entire time, I would have probably enjoyed the film more. But like it definitely felt like they started off trying to like one up just grossness.
Yeah, if you do play it like parts in a vacuum, you can get to the point where like it does seem like two things spliced together, where you have the hell angle and the serial killer part where it's just Chris Fuckman and, you know, this police investigation. They're trying to stop the vigilante, you know?
Yeah.
But there is, like, good elements of, like, that comedy sprinkled in there where you've... The montage where it's just a young Ahab, like this kid with an eye patch getting the shit kicked out of him by a karate master is fucking great.
Yeah.
He just stands up, they take a bow, and then he just gets wailed on and just knocked right the fuck out. Like, just three times in that montage, just, like, one punch, and he's down on his ass, just instantly, like, floored. And then it ends with just him kicking his own, like, his karate master in the face.
See, but that's the sort of stuff that I mean. Like, either they went full comedy or they went full, like, gross in the scenes. Until the end, where they do them both at the same time.
Mm.
That's what it looks like. That's why I don't like it, is because they don't mix them both and make it good.
Mm.
I think that was the only thing it lacked, was just the really good, like, additions to each other.
It does have some good elements of bro comedy in there as well. Like, this sort of, like, you know, I'm not going to say boyhood adventure, but, like, this kind of, like... Bros Club of just the moment where the three of them get together and try and like get into Ahab's car, and they just go, mine's locked. Yeah, mine's locked also. Yeah, I can't get in. And just have this moment where they're just stumped.
Yeah.
Like there's a little sprinkling of that in there where it's just like short bits of comedy. They're like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, it's just like, these guys are the guys that are trying to save us, or?
Yeah, exactly. Like these guys are supposed to be the heroes trying to stop this serial killer demon. And they're just fucking stupid. It's great.
What even?
It's not that they're so impossibly incompetent. That of course he's going to bang his sister and they're all going to kill themselves to get into hell later. It just makes sense.
And then I still like, this isn't hell. Do you mean H-E double hockey stick? H-E
double hockey sticks. It kind of reminds me of, like with Lloyd Kaufman's character, God and the Devil, it kind of reminds me a little bit of The Good Place, just a tiny bit. Have you seen that show? I've been watching it a lot lately.
I watched like the first like 3 episodes or the first
season. All I'm going to say is finish the first season and you'll immediately get why I think the show's brilliant.
Nah, man.
The concept of the show suddenly takes a reversal and it's fantastic. But it kind of does the same thing where it's like this point of incentivizing people to do good things, but because they'll get into heaven instead.
Yeah.
It's a funny angle. I like it.
Okay. I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, but you've already seen Father's Day, so sucked in, mate.
Fuck. You got me there, I suppose.
I got you to watch this, didn't I?
Yeah, I suppose. It's okay. Like I keep saying, the end was good.
Interestingly enough, it has got some really good reviews, and it's actually won a fair few awards as well. It's enjoyed. Critics have gone pretty good. Have gotten a hell of a kick out of this because it is like, keeping in mind that it is a grindhouse film, it plays that really well.
I'm not saying that it does. I feel like it suffers. Like a lot of films, like grindhouse films, feel like they lack focus.
Yeah, like let's go to its home in Toronto or in Canada. Where you've got It Cleaned Up, Audience Award for Best Feature Film, Fans Choice Award for Best Hero. So this is the Toronto After Dark Film Festival in 2011. Fans Choice Award for Most Original Film, Fans Choice Award for Best Kills, Fans Choice Award for Best Trailer, Best Film, Best Director, and Best Actor.
Yeah.
So it did pretty well in like a grindhouse film award show.
There's a reviewer that was like they would prefer the if it were more frightening than comedic.
Yeah,
I could see it.
It has those sprinklings of both.
Yeah, I keep saying
it doesn't lean too heavily into one until the end.
It doesn't do either. It flops.
It does a bit of like needling around, which you know I kind of like in measures.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan of. I like definite genres.
Okay.
I'm more of.
I really like when you mix. Like I really like mixed genre. Like sprinkling in like a bit of comedy into a really fucking serious film.
Yeah.
I find it enhances that.
Well, I'm not saying that I'm against
and
that.
Same
but
with
what I
like
mean,
in
I,
a comedy, you, sprinkling in like some real heavy, hard hitting shit enhances that.
You've just got to do it well for me. Like, yeah. And I don't. I don't know. I have to disagree. I don't think this film does it that well.
Oh, okay.
Like the moment with the car, because that comes after like a really serious bit.
Yeah.
Like that's funny. That's fine. But like then there's just entire bits of weirdness and gore. Mm. They're fine too.
Yeah.
Like they're fine by themselves. And like you were saying, a lot of stuff in the vacuum is fine. But when they've put it together, I just feel like it misses some marks.
Okay.
And I'm like the weird trip where you wake up, like Father John wakes up and he's butt
completely
naked,
yeah,
but wearing Twink's scarf and he just walks out and just wandering about. That's fine. Yeah. And like with the cat that's like, you're fucking dead. Oh, you're all fucked.
Twink's in there stuffing berries into Ahab's mouth.
Trying to get him to swallow them. Yeah. And it's like, find your coat.
It's great. I love it.
Like, that's fine.
Oh, my coat.
Like, I didn't mind that, but then at the same time, like, some of the Fuckman stuff I just wasn't a fan of. I felt like it was too
The Fuckman stuff is, like, yeah. I will say that's the kind of stuff that makes me go, like, oh, was recommending this the best idea? Should I really be watching this kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's a very gruesome film.
Yeah.
Whereas
I can tell a lot of people won't make it through to the end.
No.
A lot of people wouldn't watch this movie.
No, like I said, the only reason I stayed watching it till the end was because I wanted you when doing the podcast.
Yeah, and because I was telling you, like, just wait to the fourth act, man. Just wait to the fourth act.
Yeah.
It all gets better when they kill the Fuckman.
Yeah. <it's...
laughs> You wouldn't expect that for the film's central conflict to end, and then it continues going.
Yeah.
Which is, just so perfect in this.
It ends, but it also ends anticlimactically.
Yeah, exactly. He just fucking bludgeons him to death. Like, they go, there he is, and he just kills him.
Yeah.
Just, oh, right, you're just a man.
Pop, pop, off the edge.
Yeah. I think that's a good, good place to end for the episode.
Yeah.
Alex says, don't fucking touch this with a 10-foot pole. I say...
Which, even if that's what you're into, but it's just not my cup of tea. I just wasn't a fan.
If you're... Definitely, if you want to see, like, some good trash, Like some flaming garbage, you know, like the kind of movies that are like, oh, this isn't A grade, but it's fucking stupid and I love it.
Yeah.
Then by all means, check this out. It does fantastically, I think. Next week we've got another. It's not quite. I wouldn't say horror movie.
No, it's probably another B grade film. Necrotronic.
Yeah. So you've recommended. So it's Necrotronic.
Yeah, it's Necrotronic.
I have spelled it completely incorrectly.
Why did you write Necrotonic?
No, I spelled Necro with a C and probably, yeah, it's wrong.
No, Necro with a K.
Oh, because it's super, it's like this weird sci-fi, like yeah. Demons crossed with technology stuff.
Yeah, it seems like some really dumb thing that I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, it's this spooky sci-fi concept. So I thought the trailer was pretty cool and interesting, so yeah. I want to give it a watch. Also, it's by the guys who made
Wormwood.
Yeah, Wormwood. Was it like Ride something or other? It's like, are these guys, they're, where are they from? Are they Australian or
They're either Australian or Kiwis.
That's what I thought, which is really distressing that I'm Australian and can't figure that out, but oh well. We'll claim credit if it's good.
Yeah, it's an Australian thing.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. I'm down for that. Always love some good Australian.
Yeah, I think
weird
it was
shit.
I think it was made New South Wales or something.
Okay, it's pretty recent too.
Yeah, it came out this year, last year.
Yeah, keep in mind next week, Necrotronic.